Deuteronomy, our text today, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 26, is one of the most incredible and one of the most liberal passages in all 66 books of the Bible. I say it's incredible because it speaks to the incredible and supernatural compassion of the living God. The songwriter calls that amazing grace. Do you remember amazing grace?
Yes.
For the church, amazing grace should be unforgettable. But not only is this text very incredible, but this text is also very liberal. Liberal in the sense that it speaks to the liberty, the freedom, if you will, that God gives to his children. The text kind of is a foreshadowing of 2 Corinthians 3:17, which says, "Where the Spirit," well, let me back up. It says, "The Lord is the Spirit." Uh-huh. "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Liberty or freedom, but I have to say, for us as the people of God, freedom speaks the kingdom. Because we are kingdom people, we have a kingdom freedom, okay? Amen. Or we might say a sanctified freedom. Uh-huh. It's not anything goes, but anything goes that glorifies God.
Amen.
That's a kingdom freedom. Or a sanctified freedom, if you will, that we would bring honor and glory to the living God. Notice Pastor Moses now. Pastor Moses, teaching this new generation of Israelites, is sure enough bringing glory and honor to the living God. Pastor Moses makes a shift in his sermonic series, if you will, in his teaching series. He makes a shift from teaching them about crossing over into the promised land to teaching them how to worship once they get there. Or if you're with me, if you're still with me, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, God is teaching me by his word and by his spirit that there are times in our lives and our ministries when we need to make a shift.
Amen.
You know, things change. Would you agree?
Amen.
Times change.
Right.
People change. You change. And there are times when we have to make a shift in our life. We have to make a shift in our ministries. We have to make a shift in the people that we associate with sometimes. Pastor Moses makes a shift in his teaching ministry. He's an elderly pastor now, but how many of you know you never get too old to learn or to make shifts or to develop?
Right.
In his own teaching ministry, at 120 years old, he's still developing, he's still growing, and he shifts from teaching them in his teaching series, as he shifts from crossing over to how you're to worship once you get there. He is teaching them about how they are to bring glory to God, and get this, he's teaching them about giving.
Amen.
Oh, I thought I would have heard a few more amens when I said giving. I heard amens. I heard a few, but that's good. I did hear a few. He's teaching them about giving, but never ever forget, giving is not some kind of unwanted appendage to worship. Giving is a very vital part of worship.
Amen.
Matter of fact, giving is integral to the worship of God because it mirrors the image of the living God. For God so loved the world that he gave.
Amen.
So when we give, we are reflecting in a prominent way the glory of the living God. He's teaching about worship through giving. And notice what Pastor Moses says, beginning at verse 22, because this picks up where we left off last week. He says, "You shall surely tithe." No, make no mistake about it. You shall surely give one-tenth or 10%. Every dollar you make, 10 cents goes to God. Every $10 you make, a dollar goes to God. Every $100 you make, $10 go to God. That's the tithe. You shall surely do that. Are y'all worshiping?
Amen.
He's teaching worship here.
Yes, yes.
He's teaching glorifying God once you get over there.
Uh-huh.
You shall surely tithe all the produce from which you sow, which comes out of the field every year. Now watch this. This is very important. You shall eat. You shall eat in the presence of God. I mentioned last week, one of the points I mentioned, if you remember, this kind of tags on to last week's message, is that those who give should be partakers of the fruits of their giving. Are you feeling me? Those who are givers in the kingdom should be partakers of the fruits of their giving. Amen. Right? Right? So notice what comes right along, right after the tithers. He's speaking about tithers, those who give 10%. You shall eat. He's speaking to the tithers that it was a mandated portion in the Old Testament that they were to give to the Lord. You shall bring your tithe, all the produce. Remember, tithing in the Old Testament economy was not units of money or gold or silver. It was crops. It was vegetables. It was fruits. It was cattle. It was herd. It was animals. You're to bring all of that to the place where God chooses, and you shall eat. And not only that, you shall eat. That's eat part of the tithe that you bring. You're to be a partaker of the fruits of it. You shall eat, the text says, in the presence, verse 23, of the Lord your God. Let me just pause there for a moment, because that's a very important principle that we ought not ever let go by us. I always teach, don't let any word pass you by. Every word is inspired. We call that plenary inspiration. Every word is inspired by God. Here's a principle that is God is teaching. And I want you to get this. Too important to pass by. If you give to God's house, God will give to your house.
Amen.
Do you pick it up from the text? He's talking to tithers. You bring your tithe to the place that I choose. It's the place of worship.
Amen.
Okay? And when you get there, you eat. You be a partaker of the tithes that you're bringing. Now, they can't eat all of the tithes, and we're going to get to this because God is going to bless them. They can't eat it all. So a part of what they bring to the house of God goes to the Levites, the ministerial team, and the priests, but they partake of the tithe themselves. In the presence of the Lord, would you agree that anytime you sit at God's table in his presence, you're blessed?
Come on now.
Let me say it again. When you go to where God chooses for you to be, when you sit at the table God chooses for you to sit at, and when you sit in the presence and eat in the presence of God, the word presence here does not speak about his omnipresence. That's not what it's talking about. It's speaking about his manifest presence, his gracious presence. And how many witnesses do I have that when you are in the gracious manifest presence of the living God, you are blessed? Let me say it again. You are blessed. You shall eat this in the gracious presence, the manifest presence of the Lord. Oh, I'm a living witness. If you give to God's house, God will give to your house.
Amen.
If you feed God's table, God will feed your table. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business.
Amen.
It's the general principle that's being taught here. I put it as a proposition on your outline. I put giving God's way allows you to eat. Giving God's way allows you to eat well. Not just eat, but it allows you to eat well. Help us out, David. David was a major giver. Matter of fact, one of the reasons why the temple was built under his son King Solomon was because David gave so well to see to it that temple would be built before he died. He gave liberally of his possessions, knowing that he would not even be the one to be the king at the time of the temple, but his son would. But he gave liberally of his possessions to see that King Solomon's temple would be built. But David said out of his own mouth, I once was young, but now I'm old. I've never see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. What is God saying? When you live according to the word of God, God will supply your need. God will take care of you. And God is so good, God will bump it up to your kids. I've never seen it. And I've been around for a while. He's an old man when he said it, says this. I've been the king. I've traveled a lot of places, been a lot of spaces, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. God is a good God.
Amen.
God will extend his grace beyond you. That's how you know when you're really blessed. My parents used to tell me all the time when I was a kid, I want you to do better than me. I want you to do better than what I did. That was kind of like a mantra in my parents' house. I think most parents really want their children to do better than what they did. I mean, that's a part of what you're raising them for. You're investing in them. You're spending time with them. You're teaching them. You're grooming them. You don't want them to do bad. You want them to do good.
Amen.
Is that not right? Amen. Anytime we eat in the gracious presence of the Lord, where God chooses, as I said, we are a blessed people. And when we give according to God's word, which is bountifully, that's how God teaches it, we also reap bountifully. I didn't just make that up. That's 2 Corinthians 9:16. Those who sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Our plates overflow, our cup runs over. When we are obedient to God and do things God's way, including giving God's way. Let me just share with you, this is an addendum, but it's a biblical addendum. God is so good. Let me just check and make sure I'm in the right house. How many of you know for yourself that God is a good God?
Amen.
And not because I'm saying it now, not because I'm just preaching it, but you know from personal experience that God has helped you.
Yes.
That God has encouraged you, that God has strengthened you, that God has blessed you, that God has helped your children, God has encouraged your children, God has inspired and used your children, God has put food on your table, clothes on your back, activity in your limbs, eyesight in your eyes, smell in your nose, hearing in your ears. God is a good God. He's a good God. And God is simply saying to us, if you do life my way, including the giving ministry, which is a vital part of worship, I know how to make your cup run over. Here's the point that I want to make. God is so good that the Bible says in Psalm, I believe it's 23:5, that I will prepare a table for you. Now, you bless when God is preparing a table for you. I'm telling you, you bless right now. But see, everybody don't like you. I'll be honest with you. I hate to bust your bubble. I think I hear some ear going out some people. But everybody is not in love with you. And it don't mean that you did anything to them. Some people just don't like the way you look. It's true. It's true. I'm just telling you the truth. You don't have to do stuff to people for people not to like you. Some people don't like you because of how you look. I just leave that for you to work with. But here's what God will do.
Come on now.
The Bible says, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That means you're going to have some, but that means God will publicly bless you in the presence, in the eyesight of those who don't like you. Now tell me, is God good? Is that God good? Which one is it? Is God good? Is God good? Which one is it? Thank you, Jesus. Watch this closely now. Highly associated with God's way are the sure blessings of God. The sure blessings of God. Highly associated with doing life God's way. Watch this. Are the sure blessings of God. Where did I get that from? I got that from the text in Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22 through 24. what I'm trying to point out now is not only will God prepare tables for you and you be able to eat. Let me say something else. Let me tell you what you will not find on earth is a given Christian starving. You ain't going to find that on earth. God will shake, rattle, and roll heaven and earth to see that his child is fed, the child who gives to his kingdom. He will shake, rattle, and roll the earth. There was a famine in the land, according to 1 Kings 18. No food anywhere. God told his servant Elijah, go down to the river Cherith, and I will send the ravens to feed you. God will send ravens if he have to feed you, because you are a child of the living God and you don't mind emptying your pocket for his kingdom. He said, Elijah, it's a famine. Nobody's eating or drinking, but you will. You drink from the river Cherith and I'll send the ravens to feed you. The Bible said ravens brought Elijah meat and drink every day. And get this, ravens are meat eaters, right, but they would not eat Elijah's food because he was God's servant. God will shake heaven and earth to see that you will eat in his presence, in his name, and to his glory.
Amen.
Don't you ever, ever shortchange God, yes, because God loves you too much for you to play chinchy on him. Okay. He's not chinchy on you. God gave 100% of Jesus. What if God gave a tithe of Jesus in your life? You would be jacked. God gave 100% of Jesus on the cross, not 10%, 100%. And then we go out and eat, and anytime you go to any restaurant, they're going to have their servants have a minimum of 15%. A minimum. Oh, y'all don't hear that. 18% is the next gratuity, and 20% is the next gratuity. Baby, God serves you far better than Rico's will serve you. I know my wife. Right? God serves you far better than the waitress at Bravo's will serve you. God serves you far better than the waitress at any other restaurant you can think of, and we give them 15 to 20%. God says, I want 10. A lot of Christians say that's too much. And God gave you 100% of Jesus.
Yep.
Not New Hope. Other churches. Y'all are major givers. I mean that. Y'all are major givers. Hallelujah. Notice what the text says. I'm getting excited. But this word is exciting. Is there a witness this word is exciting?
Amen.
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 What did you say, Chuck, about electronics? I'm getting fast in the Lord. Look at verse 23 with me. This is too awesome to miss. If the distance is so great for you that you are not able to bring the tithe, since the place where the Lord your God chooses to set his name is too far away from you, notice what it says next. When the Lord God blesses you. Did you get that?
Amen.
In other words, you are to bring your tithe to the place that God chooses. Okay? Are you with me?
Amen.
In this case, that's the temple. And if the temple is too far from where you are, because you have so much to bring, your tithe is so bountiful. You've been taking one out of every animal, one out of every crop, but God has blessed you so much that it's too much for you to carry that distance. Notice what it says. It's too much to go that distance with your tithe when the Lord blesses you. Notice it doesn't say if the Lord blesses you. You know, I teach be a glutton for detail, right? Grammar is very important in Bible interpretation. When the Lord blesses you means there's no mistake about it. If means that it's iffy, it's conditional. When means it's going to happen. So in other words, when the Lord blesses, when God pours out his blessings in your life, then he's going to do it. Not because you're good, but because he's good.
Yes.
All right?
Amen.
When that experience happens, you shall exchange the tithe for money. I told you last week they did have units of money in that time. The tithe was not a unit of money in that day, but they did have units of money in that day. Okay? God is going to bless you, so I'm getting you ready for God's blessings. Because when you live in accordance with God's word, including our patterns of giving, it's never if God blesses you, it's when God blesses you. And when God blesses, Sister T, I believe you're a witness. When God blesses, he gives us more than enough.
Yes. Amen.
Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly,
yes,
abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ,
amen,
Jesus forever and ever and ever. Amen. Malachi 3:10, he blesses us with abundance. 2 Corinthians 9:6, he blesses the giver with abundance. God is able to bountifully supply you and multiply the seed that you have sown. Matter of fact, turn with me. You got to see this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9. I just want you to see something. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 9. I want you to see this with your own eyes. I might have three people shout, with me being one of them. When you ask 2 Corinthians 9, would you say amen?
Amen.
Notice what the text says in 2 Corinthians 9 and, okay, I have 1 Corinthians, let me get 2 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 7. So let each one give as he purposed in his heart, New Testament giving, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves, guess what kind of giver? He loves a cheerful giver. But watch it, and God is able, would somebody say God is able?
God is able.
To make all grace abound towards you, is what the text says. I want you to know that what I'm teaching you, I'm not teaching you out of my head, I'm teaching you because of the word. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. No, wait a minute now. God is really saying that if you do my life my way, I'm able to make all favor, that's what grace is, abound towards you, not in just material things, but in everything. Other people will have a hard time getting gas, but you'll be able to get gas for your car. Other people will have a hard time getting money to get a higher education, but you'll get money to get a higher education. Other people will be having a hard time seeing to it that their kids get to go to school because they'll be struggling, but you'll see to it. God will see to it that your kids get to school. Other people will have a hard time during COVID-19. They'll be maybe facing the tragedy of not having homes or security, but you'll have a home and you'll still have security because God is able to make all favor, not just money, all favor, so that you will be more than sufficient to give to other people in need, because God wants to use you. When God blesses you, he blesses you not only for you to be blessed, he blesses you for you to be a blessing.
Amen.
I want you to see it with your own eyes, but he's not finished. Having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance. Will somebody say an abundance? For every good work, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. Did anybody see what verse 10a just said? God supplies seed to one target group, the sower. So if we're not sowing, let's flip it. Did you see verse 10a, Janaya? God supplies seed to who?
The sower.
So if you're not sowing, preach to the team. I just want you to see that. Don't let anyone. He provides seed to a target group.
Amen.
It's called the sower.
Amen.
Those that sowing means planting. You got to release it to plant. You can't keep it in your hands and plant it. You got to release it. But if you cast your bread upon the water, in a few days it'll come back to you, baby. That's what Ecclesiastes teaches. Part of the word of the living God. He'll make it abound to you. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed. God doesn't just add, he multiplies.
Amen.
The seed you have sown and increase the truth of your righteousness. Somebody, let's give God a prayer. Let's just pray right now. I want to close with, this is awesome here. When you delight in obeying God in your giving, God will delight in giving you the desires of your heart in surprising ways. Now this might surprise you. This might be the bomb for you, but it's Bible. Verse 25 and verse 26. If you're still with me, would you say amen?
Amen.
It's important stuff. If it's too far for you, because God has blessed you with so much, if it's too far for you to carry all of that tithe to the temple, because it's too far from where you live, then you shall exchange it, verse 25, for money, but don't take the money and go to the mall. Bind it in your hand and bring it to the temple where the temple's located. Are you with me?
Amen.
Not to the shoe store.
Uh-oh.
I got somebody's attention, right? Not to the clothing boutique. Bind it in your hand and bring it to the place that God chooses. In your hand, go to the place which God chooses. Verse 26, you may spend the money. I want you to see something about God that's Bible. You may spend the money for whatever your heart desires. God is expansive, right? God is broad, right? So the thing, God's not chinchy. You shall spend the money for whatever your heart desires. If you want to buy some oxen, you got the money, buy you some. If you want to buy some sheep, verse 26, are you with me in the Bible?
Amen.
You can buy some sheep. Or wine. This is Bible now. You can't deny this. Or strong drink. If that's what your heart desires, look at God. If that's what your heart desires, buy you some. You got the money. Or strong drink. If that's what your heart desires, buy you some. But it got to be at the place God chooses.
Amen.
That's what the text reveals. Right? Every now and then God comes out the box, doesn't he? I'm trying to examine, I'm trying to read your faces as I teach, but you got to see I'm coming from the word.
Amen.
You can't keep God in the box. He's coming out the box.
Yes.
He's too broad for a box. Too expansive for a box. Wine or strong drink or whatever your heart desires, and there, will somebody say there?
There.
That's at the place God chooses. You shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice. Do Do I have any rejoicing people in the house?
Oh, yeah.
I know it's COVID season. Got that. Know that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's God's season.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I have any rejoicers in the house?
Glory to God.
Amen.
And then you shall rejoice in the presence of the living God. I put this on your sheet. God's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of what you might think about him if he gives you the permission to buy some wine or some strong drink. God's not scared of you. If it was me, I'd be honest. If I had that kind of authority, I'd be scared to tell y'all that. I ain't lying. I'd be scared that some of y'all will go off the deep end if I tell you. I would be scared, but God's not scared of you. I'll tell you why in a minute. But let me give you some scholarship before I tell you why. The text says, when you exchange your tithe for money, because the temple is too far for you to bring all that cattle and crops and stuff. I've blessed you too much to bring all that. When you exchange it for money, it says you can buy some wine or strong drink. Let me give you a little bit of scholarship. The Hebrew word for wine is yin yin. That's the Hebrew word for it. Yin yin can mean either intoxicating drink or non-intoxicating drink. The same Hebrew word is used for both, for intoxicating drink and non-intoxicating drink, okay? That's one piece of scholarship that I want you to know. The word that's translated in the New American Standard Bible, strong drink, the phrase strong drink, is a Hebrew word, sikher. Sikher, and let me just say this, some scholars feel that strong drink is misleading. The Hebrew word sikher literally means fermented drink. Okay? If you're still with me, would you say amen?
Amen.
And the reason why some scholars feel that strong drink like the New American Standard uses, Revised Standard Version uses that, and the King James uses strong drink. But the reason why some scholarship feels that's misleading is, now keep in mind, this is a translation of the original language, okay? And one reason why some scholars feel strong drink is a misleading translation is that it implies that there was distilled alcohol in that time period. But research shows that distilled alcohol did not show up in the Near East till the 7th century AD. This is way before then. This is in BC. So some scholarship feels that the Hebrew word sikar is better translated as fermented drink, which in that day, in that time period, fermented drink was being produced as sort of like a malt, being brewed in Egypt and Acadia, which was very similar to beer today, which had some alcohol content, but it had a lower alcohol content. Matter of fact, I think the NIV translates it as beer. Is that correct? Or fermented drink? Fermented drink? Fermented drink. Okay, fermented drink in that time period was being produced in Egypt and Acadia as in a brewery. And it was kind of like a beer, what we would consider a beer. With lower alcohol content. So I just wanted to put a little bit of scholarship out there for you. But either way you look at it, God is seemingly given permission to drink some kind of beverage with some alcohol content in it. Let me tell you why. I told you I would be scared to tell y'all that. Because I know some of y'all.
Yeah.
But when you really think about it, you cannot use, and I've researched this, And I dare you to do it. You cannot use the Bible to prohibit having a drink. The Bible will not substantiate that. What the Bible does substantiate is drunkenness, not to get drunk. But you cannot use the Bible to say you cannot have a drink. Matter of fact, if I'm reading 1 Corinthians 11 right, fermented wine was used in worship in the first century in communion. That's why 1 Corinthians 11 says some people were going, they were using it and abusing it, getting drunk. 1 Corinthians 11, instead of using it for the intended purpose. The Bible does not outlaw a drink, it outlines drunkenness. However, I teach using wisdom because I can't have any of it because I'm allergic to it. So the Bible also teaches we ought to be wise, right?
Amen.
If I have a drink, I'm allergic to it. I break out into addiction.
Amen.
So for me, I can't have any. Some of y'all, if you have a drink, you're allergic to it too. You'll break out in handcuffs or the lampshade on your head at the party. So for you, like me,
that's right.
You shouldn't have any.
Come on, teach Pastor.
Amen.
Y'all, I remember back in the day, I saw some pictures of some of y'all that had the lampshade on your head at the party. I saw the picture. God is not afraid of you because God knows that if he has your heart, wine and strong drink won't. Let me say it again. God is not afraid of you. He's not afraid to put that in his holy word. He's not afraid of what you think about it because he knows that he got your heart. Zinzin and Sekar will not. The fact is, who got your heart?
Amen.
That's what God is saying. Who got your heart? Is it yin yin wine? Is it Sekar, strong drink? Because if God got it, wine and strong drink won't. Give God some praise. That's a good place to praise him.
Amen.
You thought God was scared to tell you that. He's too free to be scared of you or me or what you think about him. You ought to think he's good. But remember, I put some scriptures there, and I want you to help me with this one. God is not afraid of you. God is not afraid to reveal to you how free you are in the Lord. Now, help me. We do it every, and I put the scripture reference, John 8, 31 and 32. Say it with me. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you
free.
And whom the Son sets free.
Free.
That's why God could tell you something like that. And you can still be free. If he got your heart. Now, if wine and strong drink got your heart, you in trouble, period. But if he got your heart, you're free.
Amen.
But remember, I close with this. Although Jesus died to set you free, you're not under rules, regulations, and stringent ceremonial rituals. You're not under that anymore. Jesus died to set you free. But remember, with liberty comes responsibility.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
With liberty comes responsibility. We close out. I want you to turn to this. Close out with 1 Corinthians 6. Since I'm teaching, you got to be with me in the word. So 1 Corinthians 6, 12. This is our closing passage, and then 1 Corinthians 10, 23. With liberty comes responsibility, but I want you to see it from the word, not because Pastor Cooper says it. Teach, Holy Ghost, teach.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. If you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Listen to what the apostle says. All things are lawful for me. Not some things, all things. That means freedom, right?
Uh-huh.
That means liberty, right?
Yeah.
Jesus died to set you free. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Do you see the Bible?
Amen.
Do you see where it's going? Because freedom for us is kingdom freedom. Freedom speaks to kingdom. And in the kingdom is never anything goes. It's anything goes that glorifies God.
Amen.
All things are lawful for me to do. If I want to, I can have a drink. It's lawful. But the question is it helpful? For me, it's not. I know that. I know my past experiences. For me to have a drink is not helpful. So I drink Pepsi, I drink Werner's ginger ale. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So if your lawful strong drink is taking power over you, then you need to be like me and not have a drink.
Amen.
Because this is Bible, right?
That's right. It's the word.
But look at 10, chapter 10, verse 23. Are you all studying today?
Amen.
And are you learning today?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. I'm free to do all things, but all things don't build up. Translation, God wants you to do what edifies, what builds up to the head, which is Christ. If your drink is bringing you down, then that's not edifying. You need not to do it. Are you feeling me? Are you with me? But watch this. It gets even deeper. Look at the next verse. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That means although you might be free to have a drink, if there's a weaker brother with you who'll get blown away when they see you, oh, this is awesome here. This is awesome here. Even though you might be free to have a drink, if there's a weaker brother or sister around you who will get blown away because they see you to have a drink, because you are committed to loving them, don't you drink in front of them. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. Master, they didn't hear that. Because you love them too much to offend your brother, although you're free to have one. But love trumps your freedom. Did I use Trump?
Amen. You know,
give God a prayer.
Amen.
I done taught myself happy. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Amen.
Glory. Come on, join me on your feet. He's worthy. I done got happy, Jerry.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.